see people who are skirting in and out of traffic and not driving in lanes that they should be driving in and that kind of thing. So it is a safety hazard.
We can't get home. The street's completely blocked. If you're coming from Blue Angel or Gulf Beach Highway, it's blocked for a half mile or more. And the only way we can get to our houses, if we have to drop our kids off at school or something to that effect, is to drive illegally. We have to drive on the shoulder next to the road.
So Channel 3 yesterday ran a story about the problems of NAS Pensacola Blue Angels traffic practice, traffic around the practice sessions, which is a major problem. It has been a major problem whenever we had the Blue Angels practice. Remember when the base was closed? This wasn't a problem. And we were all upset about how the base was closed and we couldn't see the Blues. And now we're all upset about how the base is open and we can see the Blues. And it's like, what will make you happy? Well, nothing really in the end. But how do you solve it? That's the challenge. Mike Kohler is the county commissioner for Escambia County for District 2. That includes NAS Pensacola. He joins us now by phone. Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. How are you today?
I'm great. So I know this is inconvenient for the residents, massively inconvenient for the residents, but I'm also thinking about base compatibility issues, and I heard these people have called, like, the Pentagon to complain, and these are bad news notes, right, for the prospect of the base and things going forward, like we talked about last week.
Yeah, it's terrible. And the thing is, so last week, the Blues started, and the first day, I've never got so many calls and emails saying, what are you doing? And then Congressman Gates' office called the next day. And then, of course, I called the base CO and I called the sheriff. And I said, what is going on out here, right? Because it's ridiculously backed up.
Yeah.
But the point that this is not just a county issue. It's a federal, state, and local issue. And I'll give you an example. The gate itself, those are gate guards run by the base, which is federal. If they don't have enough gate guards to put people through that gate, then there's nothing I can do about that. That's on the base CO. Now, the base CO, when I talk to them, they have to go through some questionnaires, obviously, to make sure that people are legal, that they don't have a firearm. And he's saying that's what's slowing down the process. But we'll talk about that. And then from the state level, the TPO, you can go 100 miles from east of Panama City all the way down, through Gulf Breeze on a four-lane road till you get to Navy and Barrancas, and then you go to a two-lane road all the way to the Alabama border to a residential neighborhood. And it just doesn't seem like that's the best plan to funnel everyone through the back gate to me.
Right.
And most of the people that are coming our people that live in District 2, they can go out their front door and watch the Blue Angels. It's tourism
that's
coming to the show from, Alabama and the beach. So a lot of things going on here. We're going to have a meeting on Monday out at the museum to try to see what everyone can do. I actually think they should limit the number of people. Like, they get a ticket like you do when you go to the movie or a concert. If you don't have a DOD ID card, you have to have that to get on the base. And then we could control the number. It'd be complicated for the first few weeks, but then everyone would sign up online and they'd know if you didn't get it, you're not getting on the base. That's an option. Closing by our roads an option. More deputies out there, but, according to our traffic engineer and the sheriff, they think that the problem is bottlenecked at the gate. But the other option I threw out, I don't know if this is plausible, but why not do an air show one day a week at the beach and bring in more tourism dollars? It'd be a little bit more costly, but it would relieve some of the traffic. But when I brought that up, I don't think the base wants that because the museum and MWR make some money off the air show for the seating and stuff. So there's a lot of ground to cover here to get to a better solution. I'll just put it that way.
No, I think I like all of those ideas. That's why I'm listening and not asking questions. I think those are all interesting ideas. And you even, I don't know if it's in the mix, but just to make sure it doesn't get overlooked, you have the, I always forget the name of it, the facility to the north that's the old airstrip that's been abandoned for years and years and years by the recreation area.
Blue Angel Parkway over off of Lillian and Bower Road.
Yeah, I just forget that.
I
forget the name of the field.
It's the Blue Angel Rec Park.
Yeah, but that area, I always thought theoretically, like even during COVID, I remember when the question was, we just don't want people all so close together. And my thought was, well, what if we could have the Blue Angels practice there and then people could be spread out in that facility because it's a huge land space. Anyway, just, some other thoughts to maybe consider because, yeah, you're right.
I haven't even thought about that, but You know, they have to have a point of reference. So they'd have to figure that out. Like,
sure.
You know, when they do it over the beach, they put that Coast Guard cutter out there.
Agreed.
So, but that's a possibility.
Bronson Field. Several people texted me. Bronson Field's the name of it. Yeah, I remember talking about Bronson Field with Lucky back in the day because of the base closure with the terrorist attack. That was maybe an alternate site that we could use. Anyway, so I'm glad you guys are working on it. I know there's a lot of questions to ask and figure out how to put the incentives in line with the people who are capable of creating the pain for the residents, and the danger for not being able to get through for emergency services. You got a lot of stuff that's been happening in the last couple of days. One is yesterday we had the ruling come down on the 401A, the local plan. Pam Childers is right. Commissioners Barry and May and Bender, who participated in the local plan, that is not a legal plan. They didn't create the plan, but they participated and then sued to be able to continue to get paid under that plan. Is the commission going to appeal this ruling? What do you think?
Boy, I hope not. I know I won't be able to vote for that because I ran against it. To my understanding, talking with the county attorney yesterday, we have 30 days to appeal it. I don't believe it's going to come up tonight, unless one of the other commissioners has something to say about it as far as the appeal, but you never know. It's too excessive. Pam went after this. It's obvious to me. When I first got elected, they offered it to me. There's only a handful of people in it, and as far as commissioners, there was only those three and Maria Young that had taken it. And then you also have the SMS, the senior management, that's probably eventually going to have to be looked at for the rate as well. I was only no vote on that as well last sitting August. But, it's bad news for the county. I'm sure there's a lot of axe feelings among some of my colleagues, but it was the right thing to happen, in my opinion. It was just too much.
You guys are also today going to be – you're not voting on the issue. You're just voting to have a hearing on the issue of the Escambia Children's Trust and whether they should be given an exemption to having to pay the CRA money back that they had collected. I was surprised that you guys voted to take this money last time because I thought at the very least just wait was the right choice. But you voted to force them to pay the money, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, and I'll explain that. So when I look at what the Children's Trust has done in District 2, they can't give me a handful of projects they've done in 3 years over here. So when you look at – now, there's a couple options here. So we voted for that, and then their attorney was right. We have to vote to let them have a public hearing, which I will support that. I think that's the right thing to do. And then we have a couple options. We could exempt them, which we denied that the last vote. We could take the money and put it in our CRAs. Or we could do a third option, which we say to the Children's Trust, okay – we'll keep the money this year. You come back with a plan and for each of the CRAs to put the money in the Children's Trust, and maybe next year we give them back to them if they have a plan to use the money efficiently. But this is called oversight, Andrew. And right now that money's not, in my humble opinion, being used effectively. Now, you could argue, well, should it go back to tax? Well, maybe. You know, but that's not really the option right now. That will come up in the vote. So where I'm leaning right now is we obviously should do the public hearing we're required to. After we did that, she was right. We take the money the first year here. We go back to Children's Trust Fund and say, look, you have a year to come back with a plan. And then the following year, if you have a plan to use the money appropriately in the poorest neighborhoods in Escambia County, then we'll give the money back. I think that's the right thing to do. But right now, I don't see it being used effectively.
You know, I think that might well thread the needle to solve sort of all of the issues, because I think you're certainly right. Many people are frustrated with the failure of the Escambia Children's Trust to do what they're supposed to do. And if we can see them doing more effective things and in the CRA areas, you know, maybe that's everybody's happy in the end with that result. Last thing I wanted to ask you about OLF 8. Are we getting closer or farther away from getting a deal?
You know, I don't think the government should, I don't think we're good at this kind of stuff. I've said that. But honestly, I think we're going in the wrong direction. You know, the county offered a $25 million when I looked at some comps around that area. This property is worth around $29 to $40 million, it looks like to me. And then they came back and offered us $20 million. And so it's almost like it's a standoff now. I was told yesterday we may have another offer today. I haven't seen that come through on my email, but I think I think it may be going in the wrong direction unless they come through with something substantially different. I'm not going to be part of the worst land deal in Escambia County. So I'm not going to be that guy.
I understand it.
You know, but I'd like to get rid of it. Honestly, I'd like to get rid of it for a fair price so that we could, you know, we can move on and make some tax base off of it. But you can't lose 8 to 20 million and say that's a good deal for the citizens of Escambia County.
Well, and I know a lot of the I know a lot of the argument has been that, well, if we clear our invested costs, then at least we're breaking even or making some money. But I look at it as, yeah, but you've lost a lot of ground, so to speak, due to inflation. And, you know, if that money had been put into infrastructure then, as opposed to what it would take to be put into infrastructure now, even at a break-even price, you've still lost a lot. So that, you know, that doesn't change what you can get out of the market necessarily, but it does change the assessment of whether this is a win, lose, or draw.
Well, you only have to go look across the street. There's a property at 8511 Molesky that has 11 acres, and the property is worth $1.88 million. And it's Liddy Catacornia from OLF 8. So if you were to just go at a million at 290 acres, we should get around $29 million at a low level. And we should get a lot more than that because this is going to grow. But I'd be willing to concede if we had a fair price.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't think $20 million is a fair price.
Well, that's going to be that.
I just don't think it is.
Well, that's going to be an interesting conversation. Looking forward to that later today. Mike Kohler, he is the commissioner for District 2 in Escambia County. I used to always say that was the Southwest, but since redistricting, that's not quite exactly right. But it is the Warrington and the base and sort of all of that area east of Blue Angel. Mike, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I always appreciate the input, so we look forward to the meeting.
Okay, have a great day, Andrew.